Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please help me today unpack this passage of a story that happened 3,000 years ago, and help me show how it's relevant to us today. And Father, we believe that your word is the word that you have implanted in our hearts so that we can live and follow you, and so we can know the Lord Jesus. And so by your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Temptation on the threshing floor. What is going on in this chapter of the Bible? A religious mother-in-law tells her daughter-in-law to dress to kill, sends her into a field with a lot of intoxicated farmers, and instructs her to lie down next to a sleeping farmer, undo some of his clothes, and then wait and see what happens. What kind of advice is that from a mother-in-law? And what kind of a daughter-in-law rushes off to obey? Is this how courtship began 3,000 years ago? Is Naomi so desperate to leave poverty that she will offer up her only friend to find family, fame, and fortune? What would we say if one of the ladies in this church told her daughter or daughter-in-law to bathe, put on perfume, dress up, and send her to where a rich single man was sleeping? What happened after this daring action by a young widow? Was there a moment of illicit passion or something purer under the stars of Palestine? Let us turn to chapter 3 of Ruth. It's almost 6 weeks after the harvest, the harvest is finishing, and nothing has happened yet with Boaz. Here we see some daring instructions from Naomi. This shows how Naomi has changed dramatically. In chapter 1, verse 20, she's totally depressed. She can't see God's grace anywhere. But in chapter 2, 20, she can say, "The Lord has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." When one is depressed, everything appears dark and you can't see beyond your own life. But when the sun comes out, everything changes and you can begin to be concerned for others too. And this is what seems to happen to Naomi. She is preoccupied for her loyal daughter-in-law and wants to find a good spiritual man for her, a future son-in-law who can help preserve the family line. Seeing beyond oneself and looking for places where God is working can be the key to have a ray of hope come in and disperse one's clouds. So, Naomi's plan is to send Ruth to Boaz in the middle of the night, hoping that the interest that he has shown her will lead to something serious if he realizes that Ruth reciprocates it. As Boaz is a relative, he might take care of her in the future, as we will see. Now, Naomi, verse 3, gives some practical advice to Ruth. Put your face on, wash, perfume, and put your best clothes on. Ladies, if you have a date, bathe. It's biblical. However, it appears that Naomi is giving this advice not so that she dresses up sexily, but so that she stops using mourning clothes and so shows that she is available romantically once again. In those days, and in some places today, widows would wear mourning clothes for a year, up to a year after the husband's death. Then Ruth is advised to wait until Boaz has eaten. Naomi obviously knows that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. It appears that Naomi is being a type of old lady of whom we heard Paul speak about in Titus 2, verses 3 to 4. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. And here we have a model for older women to share their experience and their wisdom in a way that instead of feeling criticized, younger ladies are encouraged in their faith and life. But in verse 4, Naomi gives some controversial advice. She says, "Uncover the feet of a man asleep in the hay and do what he says." Now, this is rather dangerous territory. If you are a single man sleeping outside and a pretty woman whom you like starts to unbutton some of your clothes, how would you respond? Everything could go wrong here if Boaz isn't a man who fears God. He could be tempted and get involved with her sexually, which is clearly prohibited in the Bible. This is what we used to call in the olden days fornication. Sex outside marriage doesn't please God. But there is also the possibility of the opposite reaction, that if Boaz is a pious man, that he could be offended if a woman from Moab approaches him in such a way that, and he might dismiss her completely. What will happen here? Well, in verses 5 to 9, we see Ruth's risky obedience. In verse 5, she replies that she will do all that her mother-in-law asks. And in obedience, verse 6 goes down to the threshing floor. Verse 7 tells us of the party at the end of the harvest. After years of famine, there has been abundant harvest, and the men are celebrating. So here, we see here that Boaz knows how to have a couple of drinks without appearing to be part of the caste of men behaving badly. What a contrast with his ancestor Noah, who slept with his own daughters whilst drunk and thus began the Moabite race. Boaz, as a good son of God, knew how to control his drinking and celebrate the abundant life that Jesus promises to all God's children. I remember reading a book once called "The Kingdom of God is a Party." The Christian life should be full of happiness, celebrating God's mercies. We should live joyful lives as God's children, and he promises to provide our daily bread. And one day, he will lead us to a heavenly party, the wedding between Christ and his bride. Do we live that abundant life here in St. Michael's, Gedia Park? So Ruth uncovers Boaz's feet and lies there a while. This is the risky part. Ruth has so many things that count against her, which Boaz could take advantage of. She is poor. She is neither a virgin or very young. She has no father who could look after her. This is a moment where she is totally unprotected. How will Boaz respond? Well, verse 9, Boaz says, "Who are you?" And here Ruth goes further than Naomi had suggested. "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." The righteous strategy that Naomi has proposed is adopted and taken further by Ruth. What she says, when she says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me," she is asking Boaz to propose to her. Now, I like to think that what has happened here is that an older man is interested in a much younger widow, and he doesn't know whether that interest is reciprocated or not. He's given some subtle signs of interest. Naomi and Ruth have chatted about this, and if they'd spoken to him directly or invited him to dine, it would have been too public and difficult if he wasn't really interested. With this strategy, they show that they understand his interest, and they give him a chance to respond positively or not, without anyone else knowing. And Boaz says to Ruth in verse 12, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the King of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz's heart must have jumped. It seemed that this amazing woman has really understood. She wants him to answer his own prayer and extend his wings over her. And in verses 10 to 13, we see Boaz's grateful reaction, which shows that this is truly a love story. This is a great example of a man who resists sexual temptation, as Joseph did, but as Boaz's great-grandson David and great-great-grandson Solomon would fail to do. He stays pure, obeying God's perfect law, and in that place, God's blessing arrives. Boaz mentions that there is a closer redeemer, but he will take the initiative to do everything possible to redeem Ruth. Ruth just has to wait and rest. What is a guardian redeemer or a kinsman redeemer? It was so important in those days that the man had male descendants so that his line could continue, that when a man died without sons, the oldest brother that remained would have to give the widow a child so that his name and land wasn't lost. My very cheeky brother has reminded me several times of this biblical concept, saying that he had no problem looking after Edgelaine if I popped my clogs. The good thing is that we already have two sons, so there are no worries there, and he finally got married this year. As Ruth is without sons, Boaz can be that kinsman redeemer, and not only a redeemer to pay for Elimelech's family land, but also to take care of her and provide descendants for his dead husband, Chilion. How can we explain this concept of redemption in today's terms? I remember hearing the story of a boy who made a beautiful toy boat, but playing with it on the sea, it was washed away by a wave. He passed weeks looking along the coast where he lived, but couldn't find it. One day, however, he was in a neighbouring town when he saw his own boat in a shop. He entered in and bought it straight away. When he left, he said to his boat, "You are doubly mine. First I made you, and then I paid for you." This is what one of Ruth and Boaz's descendants would do in the future, be his people's redeemer. For the people he had made, he would also pay for with his blood shed on the cross. Many of you know Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But the sentence doesn't finish there. Paul says that all who have put their trust in Jesus are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The great English Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, used a lovely phrase, "Jesus is our beautiful Boaz." What Boaz promised to do for Ruth, Jesus did for his church. This is also a great love story. Some scholars have said that Boaz had to redeem Ruth because it was his duty established by law. But that isn't true. Boaz wasn't the nearest kinsman, and as we shall see next week, even that relative didn't have to redeem her. Boaz did it for love. Jesus also did it for love. It is the grace of God that says, "I won't leave you poor, abandoned, without a father or hope in this world, but I will redeem you. I will be your father. I will take you under my wings and give you hope of abundant life." In verses 14 to 15, Boaz shows his manliness, protecting Ruth's reputation, and shows his loving kindness, sending Ruth back to her mother-in-law with her hands full of food again. And a bit of advice here for young men, like my son David. When you want to win a young lady, you have to win her mother too. Something that I didn't realise straight away with Edgelaine. A friend liked to ask the following question. Why was Adam so happy in paradise? Because he didn't have a mother-in-law. But mother-in-laws don't have to be the son-in-law's greatest enemies. In Spanish, there's a saying, to conquer a woman, you don't have to win the mother-in-law. But if you don't, you won't live happily ever after. However, if you're wise like Boaz and treat your future mother-in-law well, your life will be much easier. The last verses, 16 to 18, show something interesting. At the beginning of the chapter, Naomi is all action, planning her righteous strategy. But after Ruth tells her all that happens, she knows that she wasn't wrong about Boaz's character. And now she can rest in God's providence, verse 18. The soap opera will continue for one more chapter. Boaz's love has to conquer one final obstacle before winning the girl. But Naomi already fully trusts in God's providence. What a huge change from the first chapter. Naomi and Ruth know that a Redeemer has been found and he will do all the work. There is nothing more to do. What a beautiful image for us. We go to Jesus to be redeemed, but he does all the work. When we discover that Jesus is our Redeemer, we don't have to do anything. We just need to rest in his grace, mercy, and love. Before we look at some application points from this amazing story, I would like to comment briefly on the incredible richness of the biblical narrative. Here we have a completely different type of writing to other bits of the Bible. For example, Solomon's Proverbs or Paul's letters. And we see three types of meaning within the same text. Firstly, we see a day, or shall I say a night, in the life of a Moabite widow who is looking to help and obey her mother-in-law. Secondly, we see something of the story of a Jewish family who are living in the sad state that Israel is at that time. With no king, they reject their own King God, and this family leaves the promised land, the place of blessing, to look for their fortune in a distant and hostile land. But on a third and deeper level, we see that God is doing something more profound. Yes, he is taking care of the situation of two widows, Naomi and Ruth, because he is a God who looks after needy widows. He has also been preparing a virtuous woman for Boaz, a faithful and pious man who reflects God's own character, and been preparing him for her. Yes, God is doing something in the short term for the people of Israel, helping them find food. But the book of Ruth also clearly shows that God is working out his medium-term plan to give them a king, David, to build an earthly kingdom. But we can also see a hint of his long-term plans. He knows that the nation and individuals in this story have been rebels against his sovereignty, and if their sin is not sorted out, it will lead them to eternal separation from him. So in the middle of all these events, God is fulfilling his promise, his covenants, that from the line of Eve, from Abraham's descendants, will come someone who will crush Satan's head, be a blessing to the nations, and a redeemer to his people. Do you have the promised Messiah in your life? Do you know what it means to be redeemed by Jesus Christ? He who created you and also bought you by his blood on the cross. Today, you can trust in him. And if you'd like to take that step, do come and chat to me or sign up for our Christianity Explored course to find out more about Jesus. So what things can we learn from what we have heard today? I think there are various things, and no doubt you can think of others. We can see how important it is to be men and women who live according to God's promises and his desires. Naomi shows us how an older woman with more life experience can guide a younger woman to serve God better. Are those of you who have had a long walk with our Lord acting like the woman in Titus 2, 3 to 4, and mentoring younger women? And if not, why not start today and be a great blessing to others? Ruth is the example of a virtuous woman, as in Proverbs 31, which says, "A woman of noble character, who can find?" She can be found wherever a woman submits to God and offers and lives not only for herself, but for others. So countercultural. Ruth shows faithfulness, humility, and bravery. She shows the importance of taking a risk once in a while, trusting that God is in charge of everything, that it is necessary to have strategic righteousness, to be proactive in looking for what is good instead of being passive. Someone said once, for evil to triumph, it is only necessary for good people to do nothing. What risks are you taking for God at the moment? And Boaz shows us that being a follower of God should affect all our life, including the area of sexuality. He could have acted incorrectly with Ruth when no one was looking, but his great self-control brought about something amazing in chapter 4. Sexual temptation today, both for the young and for the not so young, can be strong and powerful. And even if we have fallen sexually in the past, God can forgive us and restore us so that we live pure lives like Ruth and Boaz that day in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. Think about it carefully. Perhaps this triumph of holy living happened very close to where 1,000 years later a virgin gave birth to Jesus, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of the pure union of Boaz and Ruth. We will never know what the impact of our decisions today will be. Even the smallest ones may have an impact that lasts long after our lives. So let's resolve today to be like Naomi, like Ruth, like Boaz. Let's do everything by the light of the word of God, according to the will of King Jesus, who created us and redeemed us on the cross. Let's rest totally in his providence, in his sovereignty. Let's enjoy the abundant life that God gives us here whilst we await the wonderful party in his presence in heaven. And may all that we do only be for his honour, glory and power. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for this love story. Thank you that it points to the greatest love story of all, that Jesus, our beautiful Boaz, came to redeem us from our sin and rebellion and return us to a full relationship with you. Help us trust only in Jesus to be rescued, redeemed, and restored into a new transformed life that shows your light to the nations. Amen.